Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throllers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Sublime, Alan. Back in the studio, sun's still up, and she's a bit balmy in the studio. I'm just having, memories to... It can get pretty hot and sweaty in this studio during some of these summer pods, so just going to get me sweat glands on. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I think I owe you a bit of an apology, though. I got your head all mixed up. You were saying we're way too old not to understand daylight savings, and I was like, speak for yourself. I understand daylight savings. I'm a grown adult, and I proceeded to explain it to you. And then, the day after, 2 days later, I get a voice message, and you're just like, I don't know, man. I think you got this wrong. I've been thinking about this for a while, so I think I'm gonna send you spiraling. And then, as soon as I thought about it for a second longer, I was like, oh, I definitely got it wrong.
Yeah.
So, my bad. How long did I have you stewing on that?
No, I've been stewing about it for weeks, like I said last pod. My point stands. We're just fully-fledged adults that just can't get a head around this shit. And it's the goes forwards and goes backwards to create more daylight that just boggles the mind. And the reason it boggles the mind is because it's obviously doing opposite things at the opposite end of the day. And I think because I'm a early worm as well, it trips me because I'm like, nah, I've got way less daylight. I have to go run on the treadmill now because there's no daylight at 5 a.m. but that eventually comes back, and it's confusing. But anyway, we spoke about it for too long last pod. We're at risk of speaking about it for too long again. And my point stands. We just fucking don't get it.
Fair enough. I just finished off watching The Big Wet. I think I've watched, did I start round one last week? We talk about it?
Maybe,
anyway,
yeah.
I finished it off just then. Have you seen it yet?
No.
The Big Wet footage?
No, unfortunately not.
I'm gonna save it. It's going to feature a little later.
Okay.
Let's just say that.
Sweet.
Fergie. Yeah, our good friend Fergie over there, he's a tee off guy. He's an aces man. He is
rad disc golf.
Rad man. He does it all. And he has taken over my Instagram. Has he taken over yours?
I now know what this means. Yes, I'm getting lots of ads.
Yeah, when I'm just mindlessly scrolling through shit on Instagram, wasting my day. Every fifth video is just Fergie walking out, setting up a birdie light basket.
Yeah.
He's doing some work. He's putting that out there. And good on him. And I owe him an apology. I'm full of apologies today. I owe him an apology too. So, I bought that Temu basket a while back. And that's shit form for me. I think I saved $50 from buying a rad one. I should have bought a fucking rad one. Support a local guy, a friend of ours. Shit by me. So, sorry, Fergie. I've also only used it once since I bought it. So, I owe myself an apology for not being a better putter. But I do owe Fergie an apology as well. And anyone else, if you see one $50 cheaper on Temu, don't buy it. Don't be a piece of shit like me. Just go get one of the Australian ones, the Fergie one. If you're a Prodigy fan, you can go get one of those ones. But, don't be buying Temu shit. Don't be like me.
Speaking of baskets, I have to diverge from our really stringent running sheet here for a second, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see they're testing out baskets for the tour next year?
I did. I saw Penn send us a little video of that, and it was too long for me to pay full attention to, but I watched a good chunk of it. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. It looks like the testing process is a little shit at the moment, but the fact that they're trying it is pretty cool. What were they doing?
Well, my assumption is they're looking to get a universal basket for the tour. So instead of rocking up and playing on Innova 1 week, Mark X the next, playing on, Prodigy the week after that, they're looking to secure a basket to make the tour basket. And they'll just roll around with their 36 baskets or whatever they need to roll around with and make sure that it's a consistent basket every event on the pro tour next year. And definitely worth noting, at least one RPM basket in the mix if not two. I think they were running with two of the RPM style baskets as part of the testing. So that definitely caught my eye. That'd be huge for Down Under news. And then the absolute basket that just jumps out of nowhere and screams in your face is this bloody monstrosity gateway basket that looks like it's made up of a bazillion sets of chains of all different colors.
Yeah, that really stood out. It was wild. It had, can't remember, like 35 chains or something. It was some, the number was in the name. So, if you want to look it up, just look up Gateway Basket or something. But it had, I think, three layers, right? And the inside layers were tight, the outside layers were loose, and the middle layer was like every second one was tight and the other one was loose. Wild. And Nico LaCastro was just pegging discs at it, and nothing hit the pole. They reckon you cannot get to the pole. So I'm very interested. That's definitely a more radical approach than anyone else has done. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we might see more aces on tour. And obviously, as a big wizard man myself, a bit more of a gateway presence, I'm all for.
Yeah, 100%. Big news out of Parked Media. I was watching the Clubhouse on Sunday night. That was nice. I didn't mind that, actually. A bit of a surprise. The midweek is tough for me, but a little Sunday night, I watched most of it before I tucked myself in for bed. The thing that did catch my ear, though, was that they're going to do live stream for Nationals once again, which is very exciting. I'm a big fan of that. You won't be at Nationals, so this will be the only little joy you can get out of it, I think, right?
Yes, yeah. I'll be tuning in. I definitely won't be there. So it'll be nice to be able to tune in.
They give you a call yet? Surely you're doing the commentary.
I haven't let my phone leave my sight, to be honest. And I would normally at work have my phone on silent. But just with that announcement on the Clubhouse the other night, I was like, well, that's imminent. So let's just keep this phone really ready to go. Look, they're obviously not at letting their commentators know yet. But I'll share it with the pod as soon as they let me know.
Yeah, sounds good. I think they're also going to do the live stream for the World Teams. So that'd be pretty cool. Like the last World Teams event, we couldn't even get scores. But now we're going to get live stream of specific events and matchups. So that is going to be pretty tasty as well.
Very much so.
And they're going to be doing a live Clubhouse in Gambia at the football club on the Friday night or whatever it is, where you win the ace, when you wear the ace pop.
Wicked, when I throw my Nuke OS in for the first time, first throw this time instead of my second throw like last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that'd be cool. The one that they did in Imbali, or maybe they've done a couple, but they were good fun. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Maybe we'll set up a little mic in the corner opposite them, and we'll run our own live one at the same time and see who can draw the biggest crowd.
Sure.
Maybe not, but we probably will punch out a drunk pod at some stage. So we'll see how that goes.
Be on the lookout for that.
Exactly. All right. So the Kingston City Classic was the big tournament of the weekend. Second last event on the Vic Tour, spread over 2 days with split divisions, and it was good. I very much enjoyed it. The first day featured the FA2, MA3, MA4, FA4, FA40, MA50, and MJ15, FJ15, and straight away, the course was playing hard. That's how I looked at it. No one on Bicentennial shot par, and when I had a look at it, it was would have worked out ratings wise to be about 9.45, which that's a tough par. How often have we had a Melbourne tournament with a 9.45 par?
Exactly. Yeah. No. 9.45 is normally about -9 in Melbourne, so it's significantly different.
So I had me G'd up. I think the second round wasn't much different, I reckon. Yeah, maybe a little easier, but not by much. I feel like the par for Bald Hill was playing.
At a glance, I think it came out, Bald Hill actually came out a little harder at a glance.
There you go.
So I'm looking at a 72-72 for Roland Weber, and his 72 went 8-12 to start off with, and then 8-17 in the second round.
There you go. So I was playing tough, so I was G'd up for our day. But before we get to us, we'll have a look at the people who played on the Saturday. We'll start with the old man who normally run that shit. But light on field for the MA50s. We talked about it last week. We had Carey as the man to beat, but he pulled out. He saw that Jeff was fired up back from the States, and he didn't want any of that smoke. And good call, because Jeff led go to woe.
Yes, he did. And, yeah, got it done by a couple of strokes. I think he left a few out there, particularly at Bald Hill. Came in with an 8-2-7 rated round, round two. He's better than that, Jeff. But it's good enough. And, obviously, down the stretch, you're probably playing a bit of match play, maybe laying up a few shots and just doing enough to get the chocolate. So, well done, Jeff.
Yeah, definitely not his best performance. Spoke to him after, and he was pretty looking forward to the next day as well to improve on what he did. But, yeah, did enough to beat the field. Glenn Rolston in second and a tie in third with Anthony Pearsall and Albie Cunningham. What about in the FA2s?
Kim Michelle. Too good in the end. Went into the second round with a couple of stroke lead. Bridget taking it right up to her, really ring-a-ding-ding. But then Kim was then able to pull away a little further in the second round and get it done by 5 shots in the end. Both rounds above her rating, which is nice to see.
Yeah, beautiful. In the MA2, that was the MA3, I should say. That was the one when the old man didn't show up that had the best chance of the hot scores of the day, and they delivered ring-a-ding-ding after round one. Tee first for Matt Hunter, Tommy Jenkar, Nick Tay, right behind them there, a host of other names as well. But we got to Bald Hill, we got a bit of space, and our man Tommy Jenkar didn't let us down. We'd said in the last pod that he was in line for a pretty fat not light if he didn't get it done. And he went from tee first to winning by 6 strokes. So, well done there, Tommy. I reached out to him. He said that he sandbagged his way to glory. he played a true MA3 round one, hit some trees, missed all the putts, but round two was a bit better. Having the bigger arm and no trees in the way got me the win and got his mojo back, he reckons. So
that's what we like to
hear. Big shout out. Yeah, he said big shout out to the MA3 lads. They were good quality company, put the pressure on from the minute he got out of the car. Yeah, so I may have sandbagged him, but he goes, at least I got to play on the Saturday. So
I love that. And I love that they were giving it to him. You actually said he's getting a not light either way. You said, look, he's getting a not light for winning and being a sandbagger, and he's getting a not light if he loses for sure. And the 6-stroke wing, really, it was written in the stars. So that is a true sandbagging performance, but he's owning it, and so I'm all for it.
Yeah, 100%. So, tied second place, unlucky that Tommy felt like that he would just come and beat him, but that's the breaks when you're not that good at disc golf. Kyle Herbertson, Matt Hunter, two of the people we tipped might have been the smokies to get him. They were there with plus 11, and Dave Gannon with a plus 14 coming in fourth. So, pretty good going there by Dave. Big round two, a plus 3 at Bald Hill, moved him up 8 places to get into fourth spot. So, well done there, Davey boy.
That's awesome. Herbo's in for some rating jumps at the moment. He's firing at the moment, Kyle Herbertson.
Yeah, he's doing plenty. So, we'll have to keep an eye out on that one. The next ratings update, we'll have to keep his name in mind.
I'm assuming it's probably from all the Park Media editing and watching the pros go at it. And it's probably just like food for thought there, Kyle. Just keep up this trend of the quick turnaround and your disc golf will continue to be on the uptick, mate.
Just get better and better and better. You start putting them out once a week after the event again and MPO in no time.
Who knows? Exactly. There's correlation, and I always teach my students, wherever there's correlation, there is definitely causation. So keep at it.
MA4, what were they doing? That were the final group of the day and a big field.
Big field, ring-a-ding-ding, and it had MA4 obviously written all over it when you've got Alistair Templeton, who went into round two with the lead. Shooting an 860 round one, absolutely out of the gates and leaving a few players in his wake. And five back of him at the time was none other than Sam Godfrey. But in true MA4 fashion, five shots is nothing. Five shots goes away in a hole. So
real fast.
Real fast. So he just comes storming. And, I'm assuming got it done in a playoff.
Yeah, it looks that way to me. Both got the same score, but he's got the big number one. So Sam Godfrey takes the win in a playoff over Mark Green, Wayne Govan, Paul Baker, and then, poor Alistair Templeton with a massive plus 15 after his fantastic plus nine to start. All those guys in T3. I was G'd up for this. How about you? You were keen? I feel like this is the first tournament you played in a minute.
Yeah, I was happy to be out of the house. I obviously wanted a troller's guarantee to our podium. I obviously know that I've not been playing much disc golf. I also have like only ever been to Bicentennial once, and it was when it opened. So no, I had very low expectations, not playing much disc golf at the moment, but G'd up to get out of the house and throw a few frisbees for sure.
Nice. We'll start in the MA2, and it was tough going for everyone but Kalen. So close to start off with, very reminiscent of who we talk about the first day. I just dropped his name. Sam Bagger.
Tommy Jankar.
Tommy, very reminiscent of Tommy Jankar. Close at Bicentennial. And then we get to the open space of Bald Hill, and he just goes whack. Neg 3, round 2, which came out at a 9.83 rated round. I think it's probably higher than any. Oh, no. Almost. Higher than basically every round I've ever played at disc golf. To absolutely smash him, win by 8 strokes in the end. Over Lachlan McKenzie, Tim Stevenson, and Sebastian Gutierrez, rounding out that top three. Just too good. A lot of birdies at Bald Hill and staying reasonably clean. A few birdies there at Bicentennial as well. And just, too class. Too much class. I reached out to him to find out the story of his day, and he said, how about you just have me on the pod? So, I think we're going to do that. We might have a chat with him a little later.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, that really is a lot of birdies. He's got me covered by several strokes on the day. Great performance. He's got a couple of other MPO players covered. And we'll get to the other field shortly. But big victory for Kalen there. Well done.
One of the few people's under par for the weekend. So,
yeah.
Well, for the day. Who's in MA40?
MA40, we said it was going to be close. We really thought it could go a few different ways. We were hoping Anthony Magan might get it done. And you made the bold call to say, Jay Ross, you're dead to me. You just don't have it anymore. As we know, everyone listens, and Jay Ross is one of those avid listeners. And he took that personally. Insert Michael Jordan meme for one round, and he come out of the gates and went into round two with the lead. One over Aldon, two over Huss, and five ahead of Tony Magan, who's been busy at Bathurst recently. Thanks, Taryn, for that reference. And if you don't know what I mean, just – if you're desperate to know, hit me up. I'll let you know. round two, back at Bald Hill. Obviously, a few people in the mix. Jay Ross goes out there with a +5, unfortunately, and finds himself in second place, leaving room for Al Don to charge over and, yeah, get the chocolates by 3 strokes.
Nice. Hussey there, Hussey there in third with a +11. Adding on to Al Don's +2 gets a +13 overall. So they were my doubles pick in my throwers guarantee up against Jacob and Cam Ford. So +13, fingers crossed that they got over the line against them. They were heavy underdogs.
They were
7-3.
Yeah, they were.
I'm pretty sure was the score.
Yeah.
Well, quick look at MA1. And I might just scroll right down the bottom, and I'm looking at Cam Ford +24 for the day. Jacob Cruden also +24 for the day. So 48 seems to be a bigger number than 13. Jacob shot +13 round two, and Cam shot +19. So, I mean, you could pick any one of the rounds, any one of them, and they still would have lost. This is probably the worst ever throwers guarantee, like loss, win, however you want to call it, we've ever had. This is not close, never close. And I got him at 7. It's my best pick ever, for sure.
It really is. Apparently, I misread the tea leaves here. Absolutely misread the tea leaves. That was, Jesus Christ, I've got those scores backwards and then some, haven't I? Those points, I really should have been offering that up in a different way. That is just trash by the trash twins themselves, and I should have saw it coming.
I must admit, I did not see it coming. I picked what I thought was a reasonably fair, like, matchup, I thought, in my head. I thought it was going to be kind of close. And then when he went so far in one direction, if you had said 7-3 the other way, I would have taken them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, these are pretty close. I'll take the big one. But wowee, man, those guys suck. That's rough. So, good to see.
Yeah. Let's have a little look at round one just for a second, because there's a number in there we need to talk about, because I'm not finding it anywhere else, particularly on hole 15. I'm sure you could even go back to the Saturday, and you're not going to find a 9.
No way.
Against 15.
It's unnineable. So, for anyone who didn't play at hole 15, I happened upon them as this was happening, which was wonderful. It was just magic for me. Hole 15, we're playing from that elevated tee pad, and we're throwing towards that mulch island, but we're only playing to the yellow basket before it. So there is an OB that's directly in front of you, but it was a fairly howling right to left wind. So you just need to literally grab a stable disc, preferably, but any disc out of your bag, and throw it with any amount of height straight, and it will just blow you into bounds. No problem. Not a difficult hole at all. Jacob said, what if I grab one of my flippiest discs and throw it real low, straight? Well, then what it does is it just goes straight out of bounds. So that was a retee, and he was like, huh, that's odd. I wonder if I do the same thing again, if that will happen again. And crazy, you wouldn't believe it, it did. And he's like, nah, that still seems odd. I'll try it one more time. And then a third, just dead straight, low laser beam disc into out of bounds. Never once looked like coming out. And then he's like, everyone else kind of threw it high. Maybe I'll throw it kind of high. And lo and behold, he got one in bounds. Crazy.
So,
4 drives, 3 penalties means that he got up and down 4 or 9. Don took a 7. I don't know how that happened. That's pretty bad. But that 9, jeez, Jacob.
Rough.
It's fucking rough. But that was, it was so good for me. I mean, I like that one hole, I was like, oh, cool. I've, my polecat's safe. My throwers guarantee has come in. It was a wonderful hole for me. And it just got much, much worse there for him. So, good to see.
Great. Great to see.
All right. We'll have a look at the top end though. So some people actually play pretty good. And the best of the bunch was Pen Lu. He came in with a plus one overall after a pretty blistering neg three first round, 969 rated at Bicentennial. Like a bunch of people were all around the even plus one, plus two range. And then Penn went 17, 18, 1 to finish, I believe. Birdie, birdie, birdie. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, okay. Got himself out in the lead. One was right there, a little bit behind. Chris Hart also, I think, went 17, 18, 1. No, he went 16, 17, 18. Late charges. And then, yeah, Penn was just the most consistent out of those guys at Bald Hill. A lot of them fell off, but he managed to hold on just enough. Very windy when we got to Bald Hill, but he takes a two-stroke lead victory over Narada Guzman, who I had winning it, and Timmy Ware in equal second. I think Timmy bogeyed the last to get to equal second, so a bit rough there. But Brett Siebel in fourth, tied with Juan. Brett with a hot, the hot round in MA1 at Bald Hill. So well done to those guys. And you'll find me way down there in ninth. So don't worry too much about that.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, we could have rolled out Kale's meme again, couldn't we? I'm backing myself in. I think I heard you say it again.
No way. No. I tipped Narada.
I tipped
Narada. I wasn't backing myself. No, I don't know. It just wasn't very good. First round was a little off. Putting wasn't great. And the second round was a lot off and the putting was terrible. So, I don't know. Body feels good. Mine's good. I just played shit. I'm not too worried about it. Don't think it's going to be a thing. It's just a bad day.
That happens.
MPO. We had Dave Perry doing it easy. How did that happen? How did that go?
Yeah. Well, look, in the end, Aiden Howard took it up to him for a little while. And actually there was a tied for first in there at one stage, I do believe. Yeah, there really was, because through six holes at Bald Hill, David Perry was actually plus one. Aiden was minus one at that stage, and Vil was minus two, I think, at that stage. So, look, it was interesting for a moment. It was interesting for a moment for sure. But then obviously the cream rises to the top and away he goes. But Aiden, commendable, 986 event. Can't turn your nose up to that. Vil gets a podium, plays some 960 golf. He was due to play some 960 golf. And, yeah, Brian Hart, probably with some of the biggest highlights and some of the biggest lowlights, pretty classic Ryan Hart event, doing some pretty crazy things and doing some pretty ordinary things at times. Leaves him at a minus three total.
Yeah, Aiden Howard there just doing good work for the field, so it doesn't look like David Perry absolutely destroyed him. But, like, three strokes to Aiden, but eight strokes ahead of Vil and Ryan and 11 ahead of Ruben and Ryan Deere. Like, that's a pounding. Dave came to play. He played. He won. Yeah, very nice. But, yeah, Aiden the only one who can hold his head up high there, I think, in that field, besides Dave.
We had another throwers guarantee in here. I asked for myself and Darren to be a double partnership versus Ryan Deere and Leo Dykes. You gave myself and Darren a 6-point chance of winning, and Leo and Ryan are the four. So I jumped on the four because I knew I was going to be trash, and Darren would have to shoot pretty lights out to make up for my shitness. Thankfully, I was on a card with Aiden Howard, who let me know pre-tournament that Leo had pulled out. So I chucked you a cheeky message, and what did I ask for?
You asked if you could swap out Leo for Aiden, and I did not want to say yes, because Aiden is a lot more consistent than Leo, I believe, especially these Melbourne tournaments. But I'm a really nice guy, so I said, sure, why not? And it wouldn't matter. I could have given you anyone. Ryan Hart and anyone else would have easily destroyed you and Daz, so it didn't matter. It
did not matter. That was me, Daz, really just trying to make you feel comfortable about the decision. We made that call pretty early on. We were like, look, we've got nothing to play for here at Bald Hill. Let's just make sure we shoot really shit so Alan doesn't lose any sleep. So you're welcome.
Nice. Well, so you got seven, I got seven, and you got four. That has made things very tight. I am now up to 32 points, and I've closed the gap. You are still ahead at 33.
Good math.
So we're on the first to 50 is the target still. So we're still a few guarantees away from it, but it is getting tighter and tighter.
What
so
I love about exciting. Our first to 50 call, obviously we just picked a number out of nowhere. It's like, let's just play first to 50. It's really shaking out to be the perfect number. Like, this is going to really take us through the season. It's pretty good.
Your troll is guaranteed, obviously no good, and neither was mine. I had Cam Ford getting into that podium. we're not so good at trolling. But,
you know, that's the spirit of trollers. We, you know, invariably we're saying, look, maybe, but surely not.
Exactly.
And they're surely not paid out.
All right. So we haven't actually done it yet, but through the power of editing and my wonderful talents on GarageBand, we're about to have a chat with Kaylin Haramis. So, we'll see how that goes. I've got a little jingle prepared for it. So let me see if I can get this. Something I've been working on for a little while, 100% original.
Good.
Let's give it a play. We just called to have a chin wag. We just called to have a chat with friends. We just called to talk some disc golf and catch up on the latest gift of trends.
Oh, Alan, that is amazing.
Yeah, it just came to me.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's poetic, mate. Poetic.
All right. So insert Kaylin chat here. Hey, Kaylin. Thanks for joining us. I should have got Chris to introduce himself to you because apparently you guys have never met.
Yeah, so it seems.
Hey, that's weird. I knew we didn't know your name. I don't know.
That one we've is loud and clear.
A few times. Yeah. We've messaged a few times. He's going to hook me up getting $300,000 for Theo. Hard to miss from across the course. You see across the horizon the redhead bobbing along. So I've definitely seen him in passing, but never officially met.
I have to ask the first question for sure, Kaylin. Are you a Simpsons fan?
Not quite. I mean, no one can not like The Simpsons, but I can't say it was very much.
It is. You were born in 2000 and something, so that is wild to me. But that would probably why you're not big on The Simpsons. But yeah, Chris went straight to Sideshow Bob when looking for an image for you, and I thought he did pretty good there.
That was freaking fantastic.
Yeah, I like that. Dazza seems to think you're more of a Cecil man. The younger brother. I don't even know, you might not even be familiar with Cecil, but I like Sideshow Bob because he's got the red hair. Now Cecil's a blonde one, so don't worry about that.
Nah, I'm Sideshow Bob all the way.
Excellent.
Good.
So we haven't seen you around the traps for too long. How'd you get into disc golf?
Heck, 7 years ago, I was 12, traveling in Canada with my family. And my mum had played a couple of times when she was, I don't know, in her late teens, early 20s. And, you know, we came across a disc golf course. She took us up there. we all sucked, but absolutely hooked, like the whole family. So we were into it, you know, playing maybe once a month, a few times a year, something like that, as I was growing up. So that's why I can't tell you a thing about how my form works, because it's all just, you know, happened. But not really got into it like year 11, and then took year 12 off, and now I'm playing tournaments this year.
Yeah, sick. Awesome. No, that's good. I did find that odd. I'd spoken to you before and found out that you've been playing for years. You just hadn't been playing with like us. So pretty wild. No surprise that you can throw it a million meters then.
So obviously being disciplined, I've got a follow up question. You take the year off to focus on your studies. ATAR 99s, where how'd you go?
Ooh, 89.35.
Oh, okay.
Wouldn't have minded the 90s. It hurt a little bit being just a bit off, but
smart guy.
That had me well beat.
It's got me covered, bro. In a canter, they might say.
Don't
read too much into that.
The reason this came about, I thought, we should be a little less lazy and reach out to a few people every once in a while and just ask how these tournament wins went, what went into it. Because the only first-hand knowledge I normally have is some MA1 stuff. Chris might see some MPO stuff. And your first reaction was just like, why don't you just have me on the pod? And I'll talk about myself. So I think it's a great idea. We've sorted out. We figured out a way to do it that is hopefully less terrible than we've done before. So what happened? We're at a Kingston City Classic and smashed them is the way I put it. 8 strokes win. How'd you get there?
I honestly couldn't tell you. It didn't feel like I did anything special, which is the funny way about it. Melbourne Celebrates felt the same, actually, where it's just boring par golf. Played one over par the first round. I had some ripper shots, but I guess the putting green was really just saving me. I've been putting in some effort with that. Chris, I sent you something when it was really clicking. But yeah. Just putting in the first round and then second round, I played the first couple of holes fine and everyone around me just dropped like flies.
Yeah, everyone was shit. Bored who we sucked.
Tell me about, I don't know what hole it played. I don't know what number it played as on the weekend, but it's normal hole fives basket at Bald Hill. You definitely sunk a big one there. I don't know what tournament hole it was.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about that hole.
Yes. That hole, I turfed my drive. Absolute shocker. And then through what might be one of my better second shots, just with a wraith, and ended up, I reckon it was 30 short and left, stuck behind that. Those big piles of mulch on the left. But I was looking at it and the basket looked tasty and yeah, kind of just went in. So that was nice.
Sick.
That's good. I've been to that mulch. That's never looked tasty to me from there. That's all right. So we got Street League coming up this week. You're on the Wallies, the number one team. You're up against us, who should be the number one team. I can tell you for sure that I have put myself, I made a captain's call, I've put myself into the third single spot, and I did so hoping that I might end up getting the matchup with you. I know Tim Ware's afraid of me, so I can't see him putting himself at number three. I know Narada can't win at Street League, so they're not going to put him in singles. So I feel like it's down to maybe you or a Honeyman. So maybe get in Tim's ear and see if we can get the matchup on the weekend. So if it is you and I, how do you think that's going to go? And then how do you think the Wallies versus Chainsmokers matchup will be?
Oh, so this is exciting, Alan. I have the insider scoop.
Oh, we, okay.
I was talking with Tim about this yesterday at Dubs, and you know, we were scheming. I was going to be in the doubles with Honeyman or something. And apparently Tim's put this all to Daz, and Daz has made an executive decision.
Yes.
And I am sitting in the three. So
excellent. Alan, excellent. Here we go. How's it going to go?
Oh, it's going to be awesome or horrible. I don't know yet.
I know that last time you played Street League, you lost to Jacob, who's one of the worst disc golfers in Victoria. So I'm not going to say I'm confident. I'm never confident, but I am. I'm not too worried, dude.
I would also like to highlight the fact that we both played the same tournament this weekend, and I had you covered by a bit.
It was not close. No, I don't know. I think it's gonna be a good battle. How do you see the rest of it shaking out? Is the Wally's gonna get it done over us? Going straight into the granny?
Oh, I mean, the Wally's are getting it done. I don't know how there's any doubt about that. You know, we've been just soaring our way through, and I am very excited to see how it all turns out. I'm trying to pull the matchups up, but I don't know. We're going to win.
That's all right. What about Brennan's team versus the Bullied? How do you think they're going to go down? The Bullied, are they just going to – they're getting knocked out first round?
I would kind of love that.
I would love it as well. I think it's going to happen.
Brennan's team's just randomly stepped up at points. That's been very fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like it. Hopefully it gets it done. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this now. Oh man, the body's feeling good too. I got all the bad ones out on the weekend. All right. looking past Street League, I've got you down for playing Eruption and Nationals. What are your thoughts and feelings about then? You're going in pretty confident that you're going to get a couple MA2 wins there?
I would not say going in confident that I'm going to win. I would say hopeful and keen, very keen. I would like to. The game's feeling good. But also, Henry Arnold. Oh, boy.
It's good.
He's 932 rated now and just chilling at the top of that MA2 division by a mile. It will be interesting.
Now that'd be a good battle. I do like that.
Have you had the
Henry's tough.
Have you had the pleasure of Mount Gambier before?
I have not. No, I've heard great things.
You are in for a treat.
Yeah, you won't be disappointed. And one thing I really want to know, so we all have them, a disc golf nemesis or multiple, someone that when you're playing a tournament, that's, you're looking at that name to see where they're at and where you're at. It doesn't have to be in your division. It could be Dave Perry for all I care. That might be your nemesis, but, who are they? Who are your disc golf nemesis? Nemesi? Nemesises? How are we going with that? Multiple nemesis. Who are they?
All right. I have... No, so actual nemesis?
Mm-hmm.
I've got to say, I think it might be Penn.
Ooh. Yeah.
The dude just... He messes with my brain when we play together.
Yeah, he's annoying.
It's I mess up. Like, it's bad. At the same time, like, he's given me some amazing form tips and he's actually making me a better player, which is probably not nemesis activity, but no. It's between Penn and you, Alan. Like, I'm always looking at your two names.
Good. Yeah, I was be disappointed if I didn't get a feature. Everyone should be looking at my name.
Just
looking down, making sure you're ahead.
Scroll.
Yeah, my list is way too long. There's so many people. It's crazy. So I know you spend a little bit of time with Leo Dykes, and he self-proclaimed, and no one but him has ever proclaimed, but he has self-proclaimed top five forehand in Australia. And I just want to know your thoughts on that. Is he, I know you're not the most well-traveled disc golfer going around, but from what you've seen, what you've seen on coverage, does he have a top five forehand in Australia? And did you watch his final few holes at Big Wet?
I did. I enjoyed those final few holes. As much as I love Leo, that was, hilariously painful.
Where do you stand?
I rate his forehand. It looks odd. I say that as someone who has adopted the exact same run-up. It's like a duck waddle. I don't know. But it zings. I guess top five, is Feldman out of it now? Can we just say that?
I still feel like 30% of Dylan Feldman's still better than 100% of Leo's forehand, but that's...
All right, maybe not top five.
That's just me.
I'll give him top 10.
Top 10? Nice. Sounds good. What do you reckon, Chris? Have I asked you this one? Is he a top five forehand in Australia? You've seen a lot of forehands in Australia. You've got one.
Yeah, I don't have top five, though. No, he's not. No, he does not have top five forehand in Australia. With a proven performance at a big event, I might lean towards top 10. He has a good sidearm, but it's not consistent enough, as we have seen. The ceiling is high and has potential, but no, it's not top five.
Fair enough. Good call. I like that. Cop that, Leo. So we put the word out to a few people to send in some questions for us. Before that even happened, somehow Picante got wind of this. And he's come up with some wild shit. It looks like he put a lot of work into it, so we're going to run with it. Did he send me a question before he did that? Oh, yeah, he goes, can you congratulate Kalen on his MA2 win? He's a ripper player and deserves big... Oh, that was not much of a question. He just wanted to give you a big G up. here it is. He goes, on a scale of 1 to ouchies, I can't walk, how butthurt are you that you didn't play MA1 at the Kingston City Classic?
No, I'm okay with it. I was really thinking about it. Tim Ware nearly had me pushing up into it because I figured if he's going up, I could go up.
I love it.
Yeah, but I think I would have played much worse with the pressure of, you know, pen breathing down my neck.
It's a different game. It's a different game up in the big boys.
Exactly. I'm happy with my...
You know the right call. He also sent me... Oh, yeah, go.
I've got one here from Doug Adams, who just put chucked in brackets another admirer. But you alluded to it a second earlier. Why are you putt so good so quick?
Not quick. Like, this is...
No. Yeah.
I've had a basket sitting in the backyard for years. I'm just actually paying more attention to it nowadays.
Anything specifically, give the listener something. What's clicked for you? What have you been working on? Is it just muscle memory? What's a little putting trick that you're using to have your success?
See, there's not much about my putting that I'd recommend to anyone else because... It's a bit special. I'd say I putt a lot with like my legs. That's where my power's coming from. That's my whole disc golf game, just my legs. And I think especially for my jump putts, which have been really clicking lately and getting me those C2 makes, putting from the legs and getting that timing going is so crucial.
Awesome.
Nice. I like that. All right, so Penn also sent me some wild shit. So, you know, sometimes when they have, like, your birthday month and it's a word and then, like, the day you were born and it's a word and that's, like, your name? So this is Penn's version of that. This is the Kalen Haramis
Penn or Picante?
Picante.
Yeah.
So he's got January through December, all words that remotely rhyme with Kalen. and then a bunch of dates that sort of have resemblance to Haramas. So he wants to know what our names are under this category. So I was I'm July 6. So my Kalen name is Talon Karate. I don't know.
what is happening?
He's mate, I'm so confused. His would be what'd he do? His is Malin Salamis. what's your birthday, Chris?
April 18.
April 18, so you'll be Phelan Pilates. and then Kalen, we've looked up your birthday, the 23rd of something, what was it? Of June, yeah?
Yeah.
He asked me and I just looked on your Facebook.
Okay.
So he's done a special one for you for the day. So, but your name apparently is Sandbagging Picante Beans. I don't know, man. He sent it to me. I was like, sure, I'll say it.
It's okay.
He's had a day.
That is great all delivery right. by you, Alan. I think the joke is he's a sandbagger.
Yeah, I guess we got that in the end.
All right.
What else do we have on Insta, Chris?
All right. Couple of quick ones for you. Let's fire them away. From Maddie Farina. Are you familiar with Buckets Farina?
I am.
All right. I know I've been out of the game a little while this year, but who are you?
yep, that's fair.
you've touched on that already, and we know that you've been around the game for a little while. This is not a question, but a request from Chris Scott. Could you please stop throwing your hex further than my drivers, as it's making me feel inadequate?
Chris, no. Too bad.
And Tara Morgan, genuine question, and actually maybe I'll ask it this way. Is MA1 on the cards in 2025?
Oh, yeah. So regardless of how I perform at the next couple of events, I'm going to pop up to MA1 because Lachlan seemed like he would kill me if I stayed in MA2 after Kingston City. Aiden's encouraging me to move up to MPO, and I don't know about that just yet, but if I have a good couple of, like, if I perform well at the Eruption and Nationals, I may just skip MA1.
Sounds good to me. That'd be great.
Yeah.
You go right to the bottom of MPO with Nate Parrish. That'd be fine by me.
Oh, and I can get myself acquainted with Chris.
Thank you.
Clip on the way through.
Exactly.
Nice. All right. Well, we won't take too much of your time, and it's getting a bit late. I got to go to bed. I've got to edit this shit together, but then I got to go to bed. So, yeah, appreciate you jumping on. Thanks for the suggestion, and thanks for the chat.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
I see you smashing your Street League.
Oh, beautiful. Thanks for the chat, Caitlin. That was great.
That really was. What awesome insights. Great to get into the mind of Sideshow Bob. What's his son's name?
That's his brother, Cecil.
Cecil, that's it, his brother.
All right, so moving on from that wonderful chat with Kalen, we will have a look at the USDGC that went down over the weekend, the big one, maybe the biggest tournament of the year. I know Worlds is a big deal, but I feel like people like the USDGC more. Am I off base there?
No, you're not off base at all. The players like it more. The players think there's more prestige. Like, obviously, winning Worlds is Worlds, but there's just something about, like, it's the, what's that word when you, like, love your own nation or whatever?
Yeah. Patriotism.
Yeah, it's the patriotism. And obviously, we know Americans are patriot. Like, they're the most patriot people in the world. So, it's no surprise that the USDGC is, yeah, one of the most, it is the most loved tournament of the year.
Well, we both tipped Gannon Burr to win, I think, right? I know I definitely did. Not well, I tipped him in the tipping. I know you didn't have him left, but that's who you had actually winning, all right?
No, I can't remember who I had winning. It wasn't Gannon. Maybe it was. Okay, obviously, well, my actual tip was Eagle. Maybe it was Gannon. I can't remember.
But yeah, he's just too good. So he gets it done by two strokes. Seemed like it was a bit more comfortable than that in the end, I thought. But he's just he's just a weapon. And four round event, the cream's going to rise to the top, and he's going to be there or thereabouts every single time. Like, you're going to have to beat him. And no one could. So he gets his second major of the year. Am I right? Maybe one European Open as well?
Yep, that's correct.
And just surely an absolute lock of all locks for player of the year. So yes. Number one in the points, most tournament wins, two majors. Just what a season. What an insane season.
Average finish of like fourth or something silly like that.
Yeah, I think it's even higher than what Calvin's was last year.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. So,
but not as high as Macbeth's 2015. I saw that stat the other day. Really? His average finish in 2015 was like 2.1.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's so disgusting.
Yeah.
Did you watch much of it? I managed to catch a lot of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not all of it, but the best part of it.
Yeah. 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 Did anything catch your eye specifically?
It was cool to see some familiar names coming on and off coverage. So we had Nico Lacastro making his way towards the top. We had Drew Gibson making his way towards the top. We had Ezra Aderholt finding his way near the top pointy end. These are all players that have not qualified for the Pro Tour Championship. Like, they have not had a great year, but we're finding themselves, in, lead card, chase card mix. So that definitely caught my eye.
Yeah, no, that was cool. I did see that. And then some OGs too, like what's his name? Barsby was at one stage looking like having a hot round of one of the days. And then at another stage was battling to make the cut, which was pretty wild. And Nate Doss. So I just called this too early. When he had that first tournament back at Beaver State Fling, whatever it was, I called him making the cut, and he made me look like a dipshit. But tied for 37th place and takes home a bit of cash. Why don't you?
Yeah, takes home a chunk of cash.
Yeah, ahead of James Proctor, who just had a win, Alden Harris, Luke Taylor, who else we got? Jakub Semerad, Radal and Corey Ellis all didn't make the cut. Sausage didn't make the cut. Conrad, these guys are good. These are a lot of good disc golfers. And, you got old man Nate stepping out of the booth. What was his event average? 10.26. The man can still play disc golf.
Particularly impressive given the man does not play disc golf. it's just cool, isn't it? That, he got that done, takes home $860. That's wicked. We're back to Drew Gibson, I believe, finished T10, and I think top 10s get exemptions the following year. So this is big. Because I don't know what trajectory Drew's on, but he will get to play USDGC at the end of next year.
Yeah, that's cool. That is one of the big things that they look for is qualifying for USDGC. It's a big part of their year is getting into that. So nice for him to already have that. We'll have a look at the rest of the top 10.
Sorry, last thing. Do you know do you know what tournament Drew used to qualify for the event?
Nah. Was it Australian champs?
Nah. One better. Monday qualifier.
No way.
Drew did not qualify. Got in via the Monday qualifier and then top 10.
And then comes 10th.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That is a sexy stat.
Yeah.
That's a good find by you.
Yeah. Please don't fact check me on that. I think I'm right.
I love it. Definitely. huge final round of neck 13 for Calvin puts him right up into that never in it, but I came second spot, which no one does it better than that, man. I've never seen anyone have least chance of winning a tournament and come second more often than Calvin Heiberg. It's hard to explain, but he was, he was never a factor. Like, until he like finished an hour before Gannon, and they're like, oh, maybe if Gannon pars all the next 10 holes, and then Gannon's like, well, I'll par the last six.
Good observation by you. Does it all the time.
All the time. Tied for second with Anthony Barella. So Gannon Burke, Calvin Heiberg, Anthony Barella, Ricky Wysocki, Isaac Robinson, your top five. No real surprises there. I wouldn't have thought. They're probably the top five point getters on the tour this year. But the next few, a little more surprising. Vaino Makkala, Juuna Heinonen, and Nicholas Anttila, the three Finns in fifth and T7th. That's huge. Three Finns in the top 10? Surely never before.
Not at USDGC, surely.
No way. So really cool to see. Vaino was weird. I feel like the first three rounds, he was like par through the front nine every time, and then just went like neg six back nine. It was just like, cool. So that was interesting. Our boy loves the pod, loves sharing our stuff. Adam Hammes in ninth. And then Paul McBeth, the champ, he gets in there with Drew Gibson for 10th. So I feel like Paul McBeth might have been bad for your tipping comp. Am I right?
Yeah, Stoya had Paul, and that was enough for Stoya to get me. And Eileen, who got the chocolates in the tipping comp, actually had Evan Smith, and even Evan Smith outperformed Eagle. Evan Smith got 13th. So that's just, I'm just dead in the water there.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, so good tip by Eileen, hence why she's the winner of, is this season three for us?
Season three for you. This is two. That was my second one. I wasn't part of the first one with you.
So. There you go. So taking home a few $100, Eileen. I think I get about $100 for coming third.
Yeah, I got to sort that out still.
insert like breaking news, red alert. Check your messages, Alan. It's obviously doubles night at the moment. I'm going to say is Wednesday roughy.
Yes.
So they obviously just, you know, pick names out of the hat. Penn, who does he get partnered with? Ryan Deere.
Ryan Deeros.
What does he shoot around Ruffy? What are that doubles partner shoot around Ruffy?
That is a negative 18.
That is a neg 18. With two pars.
Nice. That's good going. Jesus Christ. Oh, hot off the presses. Man, neg 18. Nicely done there.
Yeah, that's sick.
I got to give you congratulations. You started pretty poor with the tipping this year, right? Where were you at?
Yeah, a few weeks in, I was 19th, and I brought to the pod that I was setting up a spreadsheet, and you had a bit of a chuckle, and the spreadsheet creation just came in clutch, and it was a slow climb, but it was a climb nonetheless. And I was hoping to make cash, to be honest, down the stretch to podium. Was a nice little surprise.
Yeah, that's good. I started my season in the middle, and then I battled my way and clawed, and then towards the back end of the year I got up to about the middle. And then my final little push got me all the way up to the middle. So, just real bland MA1 disc golf tipping for me. So, we'll see if we can spread. I might have to get the spreadsheet going next year as well.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. I didn't get to watch any of the FPO, the Throw Pink stuff, but it looks like it was a little tipsy-topsy-turvy. But Kristen Tatar takes it down. Another win for her. On Scoggins there in second, Evelina there in third. This is my best tipping week ever. My tipping was so shit. I had Evelina and Gannon left. Well, I've been saving Gannon for USCGC, but so I tipped them. So I got a win, my first winning tip of the year, and Evelina in third. So look at me go. But, yeah, Tatar looking pretty good. Six strokes. Got to be the favorite going into the, what's it called next week, I think?
The championships. Starting back at the lead, though, we'll have to make up shots. We'll have to make up shots. Starting two back of Missy Gannon. Ask me how my FPO tip went.
How did your FPO tip go?
Did not make the cut.
Oh, gross. That, not like it was a crucial week for you.
Nah. And, like, I actually can forgive Eagle. Like, I didn't, you know, he obviously had a couple of top 10s really late in the season. I was hoping for a cheeky one. I did mention that he had 4 out of 5 top 10s at USDGC. But I can forgive a 27th for Eagle. I cannot forgive a 27th for Kat Murch. If you look at her season, it reads like this. 6, 7, 10, 1, 16, 4, 21, 15, 7, 19, 6, 7, 2, 3, 4, 8, 5, 9, 2, 6, 9, 7. I ain't seeing many numbers bigger than 10 in there, let alone am I seeing all bar one number bigger than bloody 20 in there. Jesus. Killed me. No, absolutely good. Killed me.
She finished 7th in points on the season, and then it destroys you in the end.
Yeah.
Oh, you hate to see it.
Yeah.
All right, we're pushing for time, but we'll get a couple tips for the Pro Tour Championships. We'll start with the FPO. So, Missy Gannon was the points leader, so she will have the biggest advantage, but only a stroke ahead of Holland, another one back from Kristen. Own Evelina, Ella Hansen, and your girl Kat. I don't see how Kristen doesn't just win it. What do you think?
I'm going to give Evelina a chance. I'm going to tip Evelina. Very wooded course, so it's not just throw, land on the green, and putt. You're going to have to throw, hit some lines. Europeans are good at that. I'm going to give Evelina a chance.
Nice. Sounds good. What about in the MPO? So we had Gannon, the points leader. So he has one stroke on, it's not loading right now, but
Ricky. Ricky, one stroke on Ricky, two on Antela.
What are we? Nicholas Antela in third. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy, isn't it?
And McBeth in sixth. I didn't think he had that good of a year. That's wild. Yeah. AB with like 4 wins and he still gets 8th. That's
nuts. Yeah.
Who have you got taking that one down?
Look, it's hard to go past Gannon, isn't it? Like, you're giving the best player in the world comfortably a lead. So it's hard to go past him. But let's hope for a bit of excitement and let's hope for a pretty awesome tournament. And let's go with Matty O.
Nice. I like that. I'm going past him. So they're not that long. That's the thing. Like, he... of course, he can also be the hottest player in the world, but he wins the long ones. He's there at the end. I think Calvin had that wet sail at USCGC. He's had the weird year where he's 4th in points, but only the 2 wins. I think he just does something dumb, like win the Tour Championship and be like, cool. So I've got Vinny winning.
Nice.
All right, we'll do a quick throwers guarantee. There's a little bit happening at Llewellyn this weekend. We've got Street League. Have you got anything up your sleeve of yet?
I do. I want to hear, looking at the current, let me just refresh the page. I've got 9 people signed up in Div A. Let me refresh the page. I'm still got 9 people signed up in Div A. I'm going to screenshot those 9 players, just like I did the other week, because this is what I want to hear from you. Raw score podium, Alan Bunstein.
Okay. Sure, we'll get Aiden, Ryan will definitely beat me. And then mixed bag. Depends if you show up, but you normally do. Oh, so I got to beat you and then a couple people around my level.
Correct.
So I probably won't. There's too many factors. I think that's like a 7 that I do. 7 that I get in the third.
odds. Really, really hoping you'd back yourself a bit harder there and go for like a six. All right. I circle back to me. You got one?
Circle back to you. I like it. I still don't understand how Kalen's here in Div B. That's throwing me off a little bit. But who else is playing in that? Let me have a look. Yeah, no one. I was going to maybe back against the man. But I don't like it that much. What have you got, Kalen not winning Div B? What would you give me for that? Going off these 10 players.
Yeah, of course. Going off these 10 players. I would give you to not win. Good one. Surely he wins. Doug Adams, Zolt, surely he wins. So to not win, I'm actually willing to give you a – it's not a 50-50. I'm willing to give you a six for that.
So four he wins.
Four he wins, yep. Anyone else in the field, yeah. But, yeah, I'm happy with that. Four he wins. Right.
I'll take it. I'll take that.
You'll take the four?
Yeah, Kalen, div two for four, please.
Come on field. All right.
There's a couple of good players in there.
Yeah, exactly. All right, give me let's do some double matchups.
Yeah, please. Love that. The doubles are fun.
And the doubles are fun. So I'm gonna put myself with I know exactly what I'm gonna do. I'm putting you with Aiden.
Yep.
And I'm putting myself with Ryan Deere.
Well, you're better than me and Ryan Deere's better than Aiden. So that's interesting. I don't even think it's 6-4 better. Like, that would be, if it was what, maybe one guy was better. It's probably 7-3 better. I'll give you a 3 you guys win and a 7 we win.
All right. I'll take the 7.
All right. Aiden and Alan, 7.
Yeah, the double A's. Aiden and Alan, 7.
Nice. I like it. This could be a good one here.
This is good.
Put you nice. You'll be up to 40. You get this one.
Yeah.
I'm just putting it in. But Aiden Allen versus Chris and Ryan.
Yeah.
Beautiful. This is good. It just means now it means that I know you're showing up.
Yes, true.
All right, let's get this going with we'll finish off with a bit of a throwlers. Not a throwlers guarantee. Spotlight, not light. I have so many things this week. I'm excited for this.
All right, you go. Get it started with one side of the coin.
We'll start with the spotlight. I've done a poor job. I've just been listing things, so I've got a bunch of names in. I'll start with the. We didn't give the Dazza and Sam good shout out. Forgot about that, so we'll do that now. Well run tournament, went nice and smooth. Both the courses were awesome, hard but not stupid. Great, love that by them. So well done to Sawyer and to Dazza.
100%.
Sam, well done for being sick, still coming out and spotting. Peter Barry, thanks for coming and spotting, mate. That was great. Doug and Janet, I think, did both days. Cheers to all you guys. That was awesome. But my actual spotlight is going to go to Ruben Berg. Couple reasons. A few pods back, I gave him a not light for being at the Melbourne Celebrates and stepping out his like 2-3 meter putts. It was wild. I stand by it. Anyway, I haven't seen or heard from him since, which is like not abnormal. So I see him and he comes walking right up to me like with a purpose, and he gets about 3 steps from me, and then he looks down and he marches out his 3 steps and then gets right up in me and shakes my hand. No words said. I thought it was hilarious. So I really enjoyed that. I love it when people listen and give a shit back. That's fun. But the other part of the spotlight for him is any Melbourne event when he's around, we all look to him to do the Welcome to Country. And he used to sort of do it in his native language and then translate it to Australian. And he's dropped that for a while now. And I just think it's fantastic. It's he's good. He's just like, yeah, well, I understand or you don't. So he could be saying anything and we're just clapping along like, good job, mate. Love it. I love that. I think that's good. So my spotlight goes to Rubes for a couple of reasons.
All right. Good work. Well done, Rubes. Worthy spotlight winner. I've got some honourable mentions as well. I want to give one to Brad the caddy. I've forgotten his last name, but Yuli's caddy on Tour Life was just pure gold. Tell you what, I don't think if I had to play disc golf against him back in the day, he would have been my favourite person. I can actually guarantee there's some people in Australian disc golf who I'm making comparisons with that I'm like, you're like that guy and I don't like that guy. So I imagine he was really hard to play against, but just does tell a good story and is a jet of a caddy and look, seems like a legend. So he gets an honourable mention. My other honourable mention has to go to just really detailed caddy books put together by Sam Stoyer and Daz. I got to play from a nursery on the weekend because of a really detailed caddy book that did not list a certain OB as OB. So that was nice. Didn't save me any strokes, but that was still nice. And my actual spotlight actually goes to Ruben Berg.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Got to play round two with him at Bald Hill. And that man is a stickler to his routine. And he didn't let your not like shake him. And he stepped out every 3 meter putt that he had, every 6 meter putt that he had, every 8 meter putt that he had, every 2.5 meter putt that he had, did not shake him. He's a stickler to his routine. And I commend that. And I believe when coverage comes out of round one, he was on round one coverage. There's a little treat in there for you.
good.
So I look forward to the round one coverage coming out.
Sick. I like that. All right, not lights. We'll start with Lee Thompson. So I feel like he hasn't played. Yeah, but he's not getting. He's copped a lot of love this year on the pod. And then he made me look like an asshole. I've called Al, Lee, Huss, and Tony clear top four. I can't give Jay shit for fucking smashing me and playing great. But I can give Lee Thompson shit for being terrible. I think he was the worst score in both rounds, plus 14 and plus 14 both times. No one came close to that, or Chris Scott's round him. But Paul Hill was pretty bad as well. But, finds himself squarely in the bottom of MA40.
What I particularly love about this not light is that you either know or you don't know, but either way you've ran with it. The young man had a car accident on the way to the tournament.
Oh, shit. Disregard.
No. Don't disregard. He didn't really have a car accident. But he did ding his car. He dinged his car at a petrol station. It wasn't really a car accident. But he's had a shit day. He definitely scratched his car up at a petrol station on the way to the event and then proceeded to play the shittest event of his life. Nah, worthy not light. Well done by you.
That's an honorable mention. So that's just my honorable mention. Oh, okay. Get more mentally strong there, Lee. It's not good enough. We want more from you. Top end, not bottom end. I teased the big wet at the start. This is also an honorable mention. It is must watch. So the first round was interesting. It was mixed cards, so we got to see some people don't normally see. That was cool. But the second round was lead card MPO, and they should all feel real bad about themselves. It was our man Dazza. We had Ryan, Hart, Leo, and Patty, and it was disgusting. Like, I don't, these guys smashed me that weekend, and I don't understand how. It was the worst display of putting I've ever seen. You have to watch it. Everyone has to watch it. It's okay. So gross. I don't know how. Well, the person who, oh, yeah, it's not spoilers because it happened, but the person who won, I guess deserved to win in the end, but it was so gross. They all should have won. Each one of them should look at themselves and be like, how did I not win that? The worst, one of the worst things I saw was hole 15. You know, the super tight tunnel shot, basket tucked on the left.
Yes.
Going downhill. Yeah, yes. So Ryan Hart pures it. Goes like 10, 12 long.
Puts it long. Yeah, I spoke about this when it happened, yeah.
Did you? Oh, yeah, you reminded me. Yeah, it was. Anyway, yeah. And then takes a double bogey.
Yeah.
Absolutely or triple. Disgusting.
Oh, no, it was a par double. Par four, yeah.
And we know how he can, like, putt hard and miss and go long and miss. Nah, these were, he four putted from 3 meters. It was insane. Horrendous. But, yeah, no, it's so bad. So, everyone go watch it and then feel better about yourselves that you guys didn't have to – you didn't do that. But my actual not light goes to Cole Radalen. So, I'm not sure if you saw this. Are you across this?
Nah, fill me in.
So, Cole Radalen missed the cut, which is fine. Like, he's not the best player that ever played, but he's pretty good, but – yeah, sometimes they miss the cut. But he was home. He was home all day. I'll try to get it up. His, where was it, round, final round. Going into the last few holes, he was, like, sorted. Cut was, like, neg four, and he was, like, neg five or six. Proceeds to stuff up a couple of things, but gets to... gets to hole 18, I'm pretty sure neg 5. So, still in. All you got to do is don't double bogey hole 18 and you play on Sunday. And then you compete for cash. Throws a good drive, gets inbounds, no dramas. Shit upshot. So, barely up to the corner. 50 feet away it was. Runs it. For reasons, runs the putt. I've looked it up. Turns out he didn't know that there was a cut, which that's so shit by you. Like, there's never been one before, but there is, and you need to know that. You're a fucking professional disc golfer.
Yeah.
So he didn't know there was a cut, and he didn't know the scores, so he just ran it. Came off the band and went into the water out of bounds. So then now he's putting uphill for his bogey, and he hits, tickles a couple of chains, and then drops in the double, didn't make cut. What a dipshit.
What a donkey.
What a dipshit. So, as bad as everything else was, that was the dumbest shit I saw in the whole weekend. So, yeah, Cole Darling gets my not light.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well done by you. I don't have one. I don't
That's
have
fine.
One.
I had plenty.
You had plenty. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that's it for us. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.